Okay, Yudamid Beis, two lines from the top. A few lines over here we learned already. Just go through quickly and get back into the Gemara. It says in the Mishnah that Chagigas, the laws of the sacrifices they brought on the holidays, it says, are like mountains suspended on a hair. And the Gemara says, what does it mean? The Gemara explains it to mean. Mirtiv Ksivit. But these laws are written. And basically, what the Gemara simply meant in the Mishnah was there's a lot of laws and very little written about them in the Chumash. So it's like hairs in the Chumash and they're mountains of laws. So the Gemara asks, but Mirta Ksiva, the laws are explicitly mentioned in Chumash. The Torah speaks about the laws of bringing the sacrifices when you come to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, it's needed. It's needed because Rapapa said a statement to Abaye. And he said, Mimai, how do I know that when it says in the Torah, V'chageis, here's your seat. V'chageis em eisei chag l'Hashem. It says in the Pasuk, simply it could be translated to mean, celebrate it as a holiday to Hashem. But the Gemara learns it means, chag doesn't mean holiday, it means bringing a korban. So it says, how do we know? How do we know that v'chageis may say chag l'Hashem zvicha? He asked, how do we know that chag l'Hashem means a sacrifice? Dilma chaygo chago kamer rachmano. Maybe the Torah says, just celebrate a holiday. In other words, the Gemara ants basically said as follows. The laws of korban are said in the Chumash because it says, bring a korban. But how does the Torah say, bring a korban? Celebrate it as a chag. And the Gemara interprets chag to mean a sacrifice. But the Gemara says, how do you know that? Maybe chag means a holiday. You mean getting drunk and enjoying yourself and having a good, steak dinner and so on. So the Gemara answers, Alameyat, if that's the case, it says in the Pasuk, V'yachaygu li b'midbar, celebrate for me in the desert. Hachaname, are you going to say, D'chaygu chagohu, it means celebrating a festival. Hashem told Moshe, I want the Jews to go out of Egypt. And I want them v'yachaygu li b'midbar. I want them to celebrate for me in the desert. So the Gemara interprets it, what does v'yachaygu mean? That they should bring a sacrifice for me in the desert. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu said to Pare, you have to send animals with us because we need to bring animals, to bring...
It's the beginning, you only want to go for 3 days.
Yeah, but to do what? The Pasuk says...
Celebrate.
No, but the Pasuk uses the word chag that the Gemara interprets it to mean animals. And the Gemara says, if you're going to say the chaygul chagul, maybe taket means just celebrate, no animals. You can't say that. Because Vayasiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayyemem Meshemesh, Rabbeinu said to Parei, Gam ato titim biadenu. Zvachem ve'elis, you should also give sacrifices. So you see from over there that it means sacrifices, right? So therefore, the same thing over here, it means sacrifices. So the Gemara says, this may be what the Torah means. That what? Ichlu v'shsu, eat and drink, v'chaygul chagor kamoi, and celebrate a holiday before me. How do you know it means sacrifices? So the Gemara says, l'isalka da'itach, it doesn't make sense to say differently. Why? D'chziv, because it says in the Pasuk, l'yolin chelev chagi ad bekeh, you're not allowed to leave the fats of the animals over until the morning. Meaning, if it means celebrating, does the celebration have fats? You need to gain weight. But that's not what the Gemara means. It's very, to simplify this very simply. The Gemara said a statement that the laws of Chagiga are mentioned almost nothing in Chumash. And there's mountains of laws hanging on a hair. So the Gemara says, what do you mean it's not mentioned in Chumash? It is mentioned in Chumash. The Pasuk says, V'chageisem eisei chag l'Hashem. You have to bring a chag, meaning a korban to Hashem. So the Gemara says, so what do you mean it's not written in Chumash? It is written in Chumash. Why are you telling me it's not written in Chumash? It's hanging on a hair. So the Gemara says, no, because maybe over there the word chag does not mean a sacrifice. Maybe it means a holiday. A Yom Tov. How do you know it means a sacrifice? So the Gemara says, well, there's another pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said to Moshe to tell Parei, I want the Jews to go out of Egypt v'yachaygu li b'midbar, and they should celebrate for me in the desert. And over there it means a sacrifice. So the Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe over there means also a holiday. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be, because Moshe Rabbeinu said to Pari, you have to give us animals to bring us sacrifices. So the Gemara says, no, maybe it means not to bring us sacrifices, maybe it means we should just have a good time. So the Gemara says, you can't say that.
With the animals.
With the animals. Mm-hmm. Eating, whatever. How do you know it means korbanos?
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, you can't say that. Because it says in the Chumash, you're not allowed to leave over chelev chagi, the fats of the korban, until the morning. Now, if the word chag does not mean a sacrifice, it means a holiday, since when does a holiday have fats? The Torah says, don't leave over the fats of chag until the morning. So if the word chag means a korban, everything makes sense. But if you're talking about it means a holiday, since when does a holiday have fats? So the Gemara says, V'dilma hochi kamer achman. This is what the Torah means. Chelev habob is man chag. The fats of any voluntary carbon, not the mandatory carbon. In case a person decides to donate a carbon, lo yolin, don't leave it overnight. But how do you know it means you must bring a carbon on Yom Tov? Maybe not. So the Gemara says, alameyata, if that's what you're going to say, yudamid beis, maybe it's close to 15 lines from the top. So the Gemara says, Elameyato, Haba Bizman Hachag, only sacrifices that come in the time of Yom Tif. Hudala Yolin, that's what you shouldn't leave over. Hadachala Shana Kula Yolin, but a whole year you could leave over. What does the Gemara say? That when the Pasuk says, don't leave over the fats of animals brought on Yom Tif, does that mean fats of animals not brought on Yom Tif? You could leave over. It's not true. Because the Torah says, call a laila to baker every night until the morning. So again, what is the Gemara is trying to prove? What does the word chag mean? The Gemara is trying to show that chag means a sacrifice. The chag means. Give me the Gemara a second. The chag means. Okay, give it to me. Yudamid beis in Chagiga. Midway through the page. A little above midway. So the Gemara is trying to figure out, what does the word chag mean? Does chag mean a sacrifice, or does chag mean a holiday? Okay? So the Gemara is saying that the word chag could mean holiday, and if it could mean holiday, then it doesn't necessarily have to mean a korban. And if it doesn't mean a korban, that means the laws of the korban chagiga are not mentioned openly in the Chumash. So the Gemara says, Dilma, but maybe, I would think, that is to transgress a positive mitzvah. Cause of Rachman Ha'ilalav, that the Torah writes an additional negative commandment. So the Gemara says, Lalav, cause of Krod, there's already another positive that says, Lo Yolim in Abasa Shetizbach Be'era Be'ir Marishan La'Beker. So the Gemara says, maybe it means to transgress two lavim. I have to explain this Gemara outside. When you're on mid-base, about midway through the page, but you, it's 10b2, and otherwise it's on page 20, midway through the page. The Torah says, you cannot leave over the fats of the animal until the morning. So obviously, chagi must mean animal, because the holiday doesn't have fats. Like I said, you might get fat on Yom Tov, but the Yom Tov itself doesn't have fats. So you don't get... So the Gemara says, no. It means, maybe, that the korban that's voluntary to, that you bring on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to leave the fats overnight. So the Gemara says, that means a korban the entire year you could. It says in the Torah you can't. So the Gemara says, no, that would only be a positive mitzvah. Here, by Yom Tov, it's also a negative mitzvah. So the Gemara says, but we find another negative commandment the rest of the time too. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe you can get twice. Two loves. Because then, the certain Navedis, the Torah says twice. He can't do. Which means you get double whipped. That's why there's two loves. You get double whipped. What else would the Torah give you two loves for? You get whipped, instead of 39, you get whipped 78. If you're able to handle it, obviously. So the Gemara says, El Asya Midbar Midbar, we learn it out from Midbar Midbar. Meaning, how do we know? The Gemara is trying to figure out, where does it say in the Torah you have to bring a carbon chagiga? So the Gemara says, because it's a v'chageisim, eisei chag l'Hashem, and chag means a carbon. So the Gemara says, how do you know chag means a carbon? Maybe it means a holiday. And the Gemara went back and forth, but still, at the present, the Gemara says, how do you know chag means a carbon? Maybe it means a holiday. So the Gemara is going to say, I'll tell you how you learn it. So the Gemara says, Ela Asya Midbar Midbar. We learn it out from what's called Exeter Shavar. Here it says the word Midbar, here it says the word Midbar. Meaning, here it says, V'yachaygu liba Midbar. They'll celebrate for me in the desert. That's what Hashem told Pari. And in another pasuk it says, and this pasuk is in Amos in Nevi'im, Hazvachem u'mincha, higashtem li b'midbar. Did you bring karbonis for me in the desert? So if the word says here desert, and there says desert, just like over there means sacrifices, over here also means sacrifices. Also means sacrifices. So the Gemara says, how do I know that the word chag means a sacrifice? Because we learn it out from a pasuk in Amos, which is Nevi'im. Okay? So the Gemara says, if that's the case, the Gemara finishes his Gemara. So if so, what do you mean, like mountain suspended by a hair? It says clearly, it's like Zerah Shavah, so it does say it in the Chumash. The Gemara answers, Divrei Teirim and Divrei Kabbalah Layofinin. You normally don't learn out Chumash from Tanakh, from Nach. Meaning, a real gzeira shava that you learn out, you know, one din from the next when it's the same word, is really within Chumash itself. Within Chumash itself, hear a word, their word teaches us laws. But this word midbar is not mentioned in Chumash. It's mentioned in Nevi'im. And if it's mentioned in Nevi'im, it's not a real gzeira shava. So therefore, the Gemara's conclusion, and again, it sounded more confusing than it is. The Gemara's conclusion is, when the Mishnah said that the laws of the Yom Tov sacrifices are mountains hanging on a hair, because they're not mentioned in Chumash, and the Gemara said, it says Chag, the Gemara said, but that word Chag does not necessarily mean a carbon, it can mean a holiday. From where do we learn out that it means a holiday? From a pasuk in Amos that over there it says midbar, and in Chumash it says midbar, just like over there means sacrifices, here means sacrifices. So the Gemara says, so why is it not clear in Chumash? The Gemara says, because it's not Exeter Shavah of Chumash in Chumash, it's Exeter Shavah of Chumash to Navi. And the pasuk you learn out from Navi is not a real, concrete Exeter Shavah. Therefore, it's mountains hanging on a hair, because it's not explicitly mentioned in Chumash.
And with regard to the fact that you should not leave it until the morning, that it's fed, you should not leave it fed until the morning.
But once you know already that it means korban from the Gzeir Shava.
Let's say you don't know.
No, but I'm saying according to the outcome of the Gemara that we do know, okay. So then when it says in the Pasuk, Loyolin Chelev Chagi, means the fat of the korban Chagiga.
And if you don't know it yet, then it would be an optional korban.
Yeah,
you're
right. Yeah. If somebody donates a korban, that fat you're not allowed to leave over until the morning.
For the holiday. Because
correct. Right.
Kind of chagi.
But then chagi would not mean a korban, it would mean a holiday.
But it's not fat of a holiday.
So it means that the fat of the korban that you voluntarily brought on Yom Tov.
Right.
Not what you didn't. The next piece of Gemara is an extremely interesting piece of Gemara. And just to explain a little bit what the din of Me'ila is. Me'ila, the Mishnah also said, are mountains hanging on a hair. What does it mean, mountains hanging on a hair? The law of Me'ila is not mentioned in Chumash clearly. That's what the Gemara basically says. What is Me'ila? Me'ila, when we learned the Mishnah, we discussed it briefly. Me'ila means if somebody misuses an object of the Beis HaMikdash by mistake. If somebody, let's say, this cup belonged to the Beis HaMikdash. And not only korbanos, any object that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say This was bought with Beis Hamikdash money. Okay? And I take this cup, which belongs to the Beis Hamikdash, and drink water out of it. No, I just misuse it for my personal needs. In the Beis Hamikdash. Out, it doesn't matter. I take this cup and take a drink. That is called Mi'ila. Mi'ila is when you accidentally use an object of the Beis Hamikdash that you're not supposed to use. Accidentally. Huh? No, that's Mechila, I think they're saying. No? Mechila, but they don't say a Ches. It's also a different din. It's not the din of Me'ila. Yeah. No. One who commits this act unintentionally is required to pay the value of the benefit plus a penalty of a fifth, and he has to bring a carbon. That's a b'shegig. Me'ila is b'shegig. Now, therefore, what's the din of Me'ila? It's a very simple din. You misuse it, you use it for personal use. This cup, let's say, is a dollar. I have to pay the value of the cup plus a fifth, which is, by the way, in halacha, 25%. It's a quarter. A fifth in halacha is a quarter. And, which means a dollar 25, plus I have to bring a carbon. That's the...
Huh? No one knows how much is a carbon.
Whatever the carbon cost. An animal. You have to bring an animal. Okay? Now. Because it's Mulgav and Mulbar.
Right.
So it's a fifth that when you add the additional part, it becomes a fifth. It's simply what we call it's a quarter. The Gemara explains because it's not, Shtus Mulbar or a fifth Mulbar. Right. That's called Mulbar, that's the way it works. So the Gemara asks the question, the din of Me'ila says in Chumash. So what do you mean it's not written in Chumash? It's hanging on the hairs, meaning it's not written. It is written, the law of Me'ila. Look in Chumash, it says the din of Me'ila. So the Gemara says, Amir Amir Bachamir, Rabbi Bachamir said, Leinistracha edolachnan, this din that we say it's hanging on a hair, meaning it's not written clearly in Chumash, is a din as follows. It says in the Mishnah the following din. Hashliach shasa shlichusay. Okay, let me explain this. It's a very basic, interesting piece of Gemara Yishanim. There's a din that's called a shliach. It's called in English. It's called a proxy, an agent, a messenger. If I send you to do something, and you do it, it's considered as if I did it. If I change the job, I didn't do what you told me to do, then I am not a shliach anymore. Then you lose the status of a shliach. For instance, if there's this, the case in Kedushin, there's a girl, Rachel, and I want to marry Rachel, but I don't want to go to give her a ring and say, Arei am a kodesh asli, because I'm busy, I don't have time. So I send a shliach, and I say, I'm making you an, like Yitzchak did with Rivka, with Eliezer. Eliezer was the shliach that did the kedushin for Rivka. So I send Yankel, and I say, Yankel, go to Rachel and do kedushin for me. So Yankel goes, he's the proxy, the agent, the power of attorney for me, and he goes over to Rachel, and he gives her a ring, and says, Arei at mekudeshes l'shusterman, v'tabazu k'dasmei shev Yisrael. If Yankel does that, Rachel becomes engaged to me. Huh? Oh, no, if she doesn't accept, she doesn't accept it. If I went over to Rachel and she turns me down, it's not a Kedushin. You can't force a woman to do Kedushin. We learned it out from Rivka. In fact, they said, let's go ask the girl if she wants. Now, what happens, though, if I tell Yankel, go to Rachel and do Kedushin for me. And Yankel decides to go to Leah instead. And he goes to Leah, and he says, Harei at mekudesh l'shusterman, b'tabazu k'das meshav Yisrael. So the din is, Leah is not married to, not betrothed to me. Why? Because I'm a shliach. I told him to do something. When he listens to me completely, then the shliach is, the shlichus. is valid. One second. Is valid. He doesn't listen, it's not valid. That's a din. Now, there's one din which is relevant to the Gemara over here. If I send you to kill somebody, if I say to you, I hire your hitman, and I hire you, and I say, you're my agent, I want you to go kill this guy. And you go kill him, you're liable, not me. Why? And this is important to understand in this next piece of Gemara, even though the Gemara doesn't talk about it clearly, but the Gemara in Kedushin doesn't, the Mefarshim talk about it. Two reasons. Either we learn out from a Pasik, which one of them happens to be Me'ila, or there's a logic. We'll see in the Gemara. Or there's a logic. If the teacher tells you to do something, or the student tells you to do something, who are you supposed to listen to? In other words, I could come over to Yankel, who I said is a hitman, and I say to Yankel, listen, I said kill him. God said don't kill him. You're supposed to listen to me or to God? You're supposed to listen to God, so what do you want from me? Okay? In the heavenly courts it says the sender is liable. He still told him to do it. B'dei Shemayim, he's liable. Now, so therefore there's a din as follows. When you do something for me, it's like I did it. That's only though if you listen to the instructions. If you change the instructions, you're not my power of attorney anymore, you're not my shliach anymore, and you're not, that's it. I am not doing it. In fact, there's a very famous question of the Rishonim, which is a remarkable question. If a shliach means that I did it, right? If you do something for me, it's like I did it. Why can't they make you a shliach to put tefillin on for me? I would have to put on tefillin. I could say, you know what, you'll be my shliach, and you'll put on tefillin for me, and I won't have to put on tefillin anymore, because you're putting on tefillin like I put on tefillin. Right, that's what we're saying. The action belongs to the mishaleach, to the sender. So, then I wouldn't have to put on tefillin. So why can't you make a shliach for that? So the Gemara answers answers in Kedushin a very novel answer. And he says, yeah, if you put on tefillin for me, it's like I put on tefillin. Yes, your action is like I did it. But on whose body? If you put tefillin on for me on your body, so I put on tefillin. Yeah, granted. But on your body. So I didn't do the mitzvah because tefillin have to be on my body. So now understand, not that the shliach is not, the shliach is a shliach. You're putting on tefillin like I put on tefillin. But on a mitzvah that my body has to do, I can't do it because it's your body, not my body. Okay, but the din of shliach, now, coming back to this Gemara.
A question. And what? If someone says Kaddish on behalf of me, is it similar to the issue of tefillin, or is it a little bit different?
It's not, because Kaddish has to be said for the deceased.
Uh-huh. So if I make Yankel a shliach to say Kaddish on my behalf?
It's still, the Gemara says a rule in Kedushin, mitzvah bo yoyseme b'shluchay. Even though a mitzvah I could do with a shliach sometimes, but it's still better to do it myself. That means, even by Kedushin, the Gemara says it's better to do it by yourself. The reason why Avram sent Eliezer rather than Yitzchak doing it himself, because Yitzchak couldn't leave Israel. Hashem said to him, you're a carbon, you can't leave Israel. So therefore he had no choice, he had to send Eliezer. But as a rule, the Gemara says in Kedusha, about Kedushin in fact, mitzvah bay, yaisim ibishluchi. It's better to do it by yourself than through somebody else.
Rabbi.
What?
Excuse me. The law in the United States.
Yeah.
All over this country. When a man hires a killer, that man, even if he didn't kill the man he hired, let's say Joe hired Tony to kill Max. So Tony kills Max.
Joe's liable. We know that.
And the Joe is going to be responsible if Max does kill Tony.
We know that.
You know that?
Yeah,
yeah, but not in Jewish law.
I obviously.
So the question is, so how do you reconcile?
Yeah, there you are. Thank you, Red.
If Tony kills Max, if you send Tony to kill Max, aren't you
accessory to the crime?
Yeah,
but if Tony kills Max, Tony's more punishable than I am for sending Tony.
Because Tony didn't have to do it.
Right.
But
see, in Torah, there's a logic. The Rav says, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishayman. Who are you supposed to listen to? God says, don't kill. You say, do kill. Who are you supposed to listen to?
Why?
God. So what do you want from me?
But a person doesn't believe in God, doesn't matter.
Well, then they don't believe in God.
He killed somebody to kill somebody.
But Tony, you would need two witnesses.
Okay, we're not talking about all those cases. We're talking about, but the act of, now, what happens, coming back to our Gemara of Me'ila. I take coins. Now, remember I said before, if this cup belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and I accidentally use it for myself, I did Me'ila. You have to pay the value plus a fifth plus a carbon. Now, if I take coins that belong to the Beis HaMikdash and buy a Danish with it, so I use coins of the Beis HaMikdash for personal use, so I have to do Me'ila. Correct? That's what we just learned. Now, what happens, there were coins that I thought were not Beis HaMikdash coins. I thought they were change in the house. And I take this dollar that really belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, even though I didn't know it was. So if I would go buy a Danish, I have to do Me'ila, because I misused Hegdish for my personal use. What happens if I send you to the store to buy the Danish? And you buy the Danish. So who does the Me'ila? Me or you? And so that's what the Gemara is discussing now. Because L'cha'era, you're misusing the money. But I sent you. So if I sent you, it's like I did it. So then I misused the money of Hekdesh. Right? So that's the inside the Gemara. Now we need it for what it says in the Mishnah. Again, the case is, like we said, a shliach was sent by the sender to buy something with Hegdish money. But he didn't know it belonged to the Beis HaMikdash. So it says, don't play with it.
I'm listening to you.
Ashliach shasa shlichusay, the agent, if he fulfilled the job properly, balabayismal, then the sender that does me'ila, loy asa shlichusay, if he didn't do the shlichus, then the shliach is mal. Meaning, to give you a simple example. No. It's still over here. Don't go by my gemara. It's completely different. I send you to the bakery to buy a cheese Danish. You go to the bakery and buy a chocolate chip Danish. What? No, that's this case. So, if I send you with Hegdish money that I didn't know was Hegdish and you didn't know was Hegdish, I told you, go buy me a cheese Danish. And you bought a cheese Danish, so you did my mission, so you're my shliach, so the Mishnah says, I have to do Me'ila. Yeah, not the shliach. Because the shliach is really me. Me'ila is when you misuse it, you have to pay the fifth and the, you know. What happens if the shliach didn't listen, because he bought a chocolate chip Danish instead of the cheese Danish? So then I didn't do anything. The shliach did the mistake. And he acted on his own, because he didn't do it for me, because he didn't do what I told him to do. So he loses his status of a shliach. So he becomes an individual. So who's the one that spent the money of Hegdish? He did. So he has to do me'ila, not me. Okay, so now
what is doing me'ila?
Me'ila means paying the fifth and the carbon, that whole thing. Okay.
That's not hard to understand.
No, it's not.
Not in the Me'ila. The Shogat HaMetzit is the same thing?
Meizid is worse, but this is even b'shoigig. The real essential din of Me'ila is when you didn't know.
Oh, you didn't
know. Right. If you know, then you don't have these dinim of carbon with that. It's a different din. Now, so the Gemara says, but you're telling me if he did the job properly, the sender does Me'ila, not the agent. The Gemara says, Amai mol. Why should the sender be guilty? One person's sinning, and the other one's obligated. Like we said before, there's no shliach by an aveda. You were the one that did a sin, granted unintentionally. But I sent you to buy a Danish. You bought the right Danish. Who sinned? You or me? You sinned, not me. So what? You sinned and I should pay? I should have to do the Me'ila? The Gemara says, why? Huh?
It's very beautiful.
It doesn't make sense. The truth is, the Rishonim ask, it does make sense. We'll see that in a second. The question is, so the Gemara says, Hainu ka'adorim atluyim beside. This is what the Gemara meant, that it's mountains hanging on a hair. Meaning, the Mishnah said the din of Me'ila is mountains hanging on a hair. Meaning, there's a lot of halach with no basis. Either no pasuk in Chumash or no basis. So Gemara says, what do you mean there's no basis? It says Me'il in the Torah. So there is a basis. Gemara says, no, this din doesn't make sense. This din has no basis in logic. Why? Because you're sinning and I'm responsible for your sin. Right? The problem over here is that here the rule of Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishnah doesn't apply. Because you didn't know it was an Aveda. The rule of why ain't Shliach Ledvar Aveda. The reason why the rule is you can't have an agent for sin is because you tell the agent, the sender sent you to sin. God told you not to sin. Who are you supposed to listen to? Right? But over here, nobody knew it was money of the Beis HaMikdash. You can't say, who were you supposed to listen to? The sender or God? The sender also didn't know anything was wrong. Because nobody knew this money was forbidden money of Hegdish. So, the Gemara says, the Gemara's question doesn't make sense. Because the reason why there's no agent by a sin, what the Gemara is asking over here is, because you're not supposed to listen to the sender. If it's a sin, you're supposed to listen to God. But that's only when you know it's a sin. If you don't know it's a sin, how in the world can you do it?
Doesn't know, but what other, not
Mila,
any other
Aveda.
Doesn't know that it's an Aveda.
And Ochanami. No, but over here is not, he doesn't know because he never learned. Here, the fact is nobody knew it was money of Hegdish. You can't tell him, turn on the light on Shabbos. He should have known that you're not allowed to turn on the light on Shabbos. Here it's an unknown. Not of anybody's fault. Nobody has to know that this is Hegdish money. The whole cause of the Me'il is an accident. Because you have a similar case, not exactly relevant to this Gemara, but just an interesting concept. What happens if it's for the sender, it's a sin, but not for the agent?
The sender knows it's forbidden. No,
for the sender, it's a sin, but not for the agent. Where do you have such a case? Give thousands of cases.
Well, I remember.
I'll give you one second. You're not going to know this case.
I didn't say I know the case, but I know
a kohen. A kohen sends a shliach to do kedusha with a divorcee. Mm-hmm. Now the shliach is a Levi or Yisrael, so he's allowed to marry a divorcee. Hello. For the kohen, the kedusha is an act of sin. Right. Now, if a kohen sends a Yisrael to do kedusha to a gerusha, is that called a shliach ledvar aveda or not? So the Gemara talks.
Grusha or Gurusha?
Grusha.
What's the difference?
Divorcee.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Say a divorcee. A kohen can't marry a divorcee. If I'm a kohen, I'm not, but let's say I am. Yeah, I become a Kohen. Mashiach comes and become a Kohen.
He's coming to Monday, right?
Yeah, he came already. He's coming here tomorrow. A Grusha, a Kohen cannot marry a Grusha. So Kohen, for him to do Kedushin to a Grusha is a sin. Now, what happens if I, a Kohen, send a Yisrael? A Yisrael could marry a Grusha. If a Kohen sends a Yisrael as a Shliach to do Kedushin for the Kohen with this divorcee. Now, for the agent, is he doing anything wrong? Is it a sin for him? No.
If
for him, it's not an Aveda.
But if he knows that he's doing...
What's the difference? For him, it's not a sin.
Right.
He's not married.
But he's visited.
And without him, it could also happen. The Kohen could do it on his own. Is that considered a concept of Shlich L'Dvar Aveda? I'll give you another very powerful one today. According to the, and this is a very interesting Neidah B'Yehuda, it's a very famous tshuva Neidah B'Yehuda, Rabbeinu Gershom instituted, you cannot divorce a wife against her will. As far as the Torah is concerned, if a husband hates his wife, he could write a get, throw it at her, she doesn't have to willingly want it. Kedushin, the Gemara learns that from the Torah, has to be willing. Mm-hmm. Biblically, a get, you could take a get and throw it into your wife's window, into her house, and she automatically acquires the get and she's divorced whether she likes it or not. That's the biblical law. Rabbeinu Gershom came along with his many takanas, you know, no two wives and all that. He said, you cannot divorce a woman against her will. You can't. It's forbidden. He made a takana. It's forbidden to divorce a woman against her will. So the Neidah B'Yehuda has a whole tshuva about a case that a guy sent a shliach to forcibly divorce his wife. And the Neidah B'Yehuda Paskin, he's not a shliach. Why? Because it's an Aveda. What's the Aveda? That Rabbeinu Gershom said you can't do it. That's how far he goes. So he says it's a shliach l'dvar Aveda. It's a shliach to do an Aveda, and there's no shliach by dvar Aveda. So therefore the husband never gave the woman a get. And the woman's not divorced. I mean, that's how far the concept of en shliach l'dvar Aveda goes. But the Rishonim ask over here, it doesn't make sense, the logic. The reason why this ancient shliach l'dvar aveda, the logic, because there's two reasons in the Gemara. One is the pasuk, one is the logic. The logic is, who are you supposed to listen to? But that's only when you know it's an aveda. If you don't know it's an aveda, because you don't know that the money belongs to Hegdish, so why is it a problem? But anyway, the Gemara came to the conclusion anyway, that the bottom line of it is, that's what the Mishnah means, mountains hanging on hairs. But
in a case, if you're sitting at table with a nazir, and he says, take the order, then should I can hear you? The nazir says, pass me the wine, you're allowed to give it to him because he can take it himself. But if he's on one side of the river and you're on the other, you're not allowed to pass it to him. You can't get it
right, right. As I said, what happens if Cain could, that's what he said to you, what happens if Cain could do it on his own?
Is this the same case?
Yeah. If Cain's able to do it on his own, so then you're not helping him.
And if the Cain would be on the other side of the river, then you can't.
Then maybe.
Somebody who's not going to say bracha on
it? Yeah, that's all part of the same concept. Okay, so the Gemara asked, well, my kushya, what's the Amar of it? Obviously said, my kushya, what's the problem with this? Dilma shani mi'ila, maybe mi'ila is different than all other sins. Yes, by all other sins there's no shliach, but maybe by mi'ila there is. Why? Because we learn out chet chet mit truma. There's a word chet by truma, and there's a word chet by me'ila. So mahas and just say by truma. Shluch or shaladam kamaisai. Don't say by truma. We learn out from a pasuk that the shliach of a person is like the person himself. Avkan here also. Shluch or shaladam kamaisai, that the shliach of the person is like the guy himself, even in a case when there's a sin. Meaning, you're telling me that by Me'ila there shouldn't be a shliach, because, you know, there's an aveda involved. But the Gemara answers, maybe, you know why by Me'ilah is different than all other sins? By all other sins, granted, there is no shliach to do an Aveda. But by Me'ilah, we learn it out from Truma. One, by the way, how do we know, the Gemara discusses a lot of proofs in Kedushin, how do we know I can make a shliach? Where do we learn out that shliach is my power? Yeah, but that's the problem, that's before Matan Torah. And that's not clear. No, it's a good point, but you know, the question is, that's before Matan Torah. You can't learn out dinim for after Matan Torah. Yeah, but how do you know he had a din of a shliach, that it's like considered that Meisha did it? No, the Gemara is asking, in halacha, where do you find it? So the Gemara says, by Truma, the Pasuk says as follows, Kein Tarimu Gamatem. You should also give Truma. The Torah should have said, Kein Tarimu Atem. You should give Truma. What's the extra word, Gam? Also you? Also includes a Shliach. Another source they learn it out from, it says, by Korban Pesach, V'shachtu Eisei Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael. The whole community shechts the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara said, what do you think the whole community could shecht? So the Kayanim shecht as an agent of the Jews. So you see that the Torah says allows the concept of a Shliach. So Truma is one of the sources where we learn out the concept that a Shliach is the action of the sender. So the fact that we learn out Me'ilah from Truma would imply that even though Me'ilah is a sin, maybe by Me'ilah there is Shliach. So therefore, in the Shliach does his job, that the sender has to do Me'ilah is logical anymore. It's already logical. It's not logical anymore. Now it's logical because even though it's an Aveda, but Me'ilah we learn out, there's always a din of Shlichas. Just like we learn it out from Truma. So Rav asks, why is it so illogical? So where do you find a din of Me'ilah that doesn't make sense? You know, the Gemara is trying to find a din of Me'ilah that doesn't make sense to say it's a mountain standing on a hair. So Elam and Rav said a different case of Me'ilah. The Chedetanya, what we learned in the Braisa. Now this is a wacky, this is the same case, just another wacky detail in the case. I send you to the market to buy a Danish. Okay? I don't know it's Hegdish money, and you don't know it's Hegdish money. Okay? But it took you half an hour to get to the market. So 6 o'clock, I send you to the market to buy a Danish. To the bakery to buy a Danish. You get to the market at 6:30. At 6:15, the sender reminded himself that it's Beis HaMikdash money. The shliach is going on his merry way. He doesn't know that they didn't have cell phones. He didn't know the sender realized it's Me'ilah. Now, once the sender realizes it, for him, it's not Me'ilah anymore. Because he realizes that it's Hegdash. Me'ilah is when you don't realize it's Hegdash. The buyer, the shliach, doesn't realize still. So the Braisa says the following din. Nirske balabayis v'le nirske shliach. What happens before the shliach bought the Danish? The sender remembered that it was Hegdash. V'le nirske shliach, but this agent didn't know it was Hegdash. Then shliach mo'al. The shliach does the sin. The me'ilah. Why? Because the sender knows already.
But the agent doesn't know.
Oh, but that's why he has to do Me'ilah. But the Gemara asked, Shliach Anya my covered, what, like the Gemara's expression, what did the poor, Shliach Anya means a poor Shliach, like you're saying, what did the poor guy know?